It is time for the Maverick, the Maven, the one, the only, Arthur Schwartz. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. For
me, a holiday is not a time to be a maverick, by the way.
It's a time to be a traditionalist.
I was just rereading the many, 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 many words I've written about Hanukkah food. And there was a period, you will remember, I guess it was in the 80s, when everybody became fat phobic.
Ugh.
So it's against of the holiday, but you're supposed to fry in oil. I think that could change. I think you could do anything with oil. It doesn't have to be frying. But that's the tradition of Hanukkah. All over the world, people fry stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that we fry in New York and metro area and in many other places in America is the tradition of Eastern European Jews who had plentiful potatoes and enough, actually, they used poultry fat, enough poultry fat to make potato latkes, which is what we eat mostly on Hanukkah around here.
So would you...
Pardon me?
All right, so okay, because duck, you know...
Ducks and geese were slaughtered at this time of the year, hence the Christmas goose.
Hence the... potatoes in duck fat is just one of the most delicious things in the world.
Listen, I grew up with this. My grandparents, Barney and Rose, they both cooked. My grandmother always liked to, she was a very good cook, and she always liked to say that she couldn't even, in her Brooklyn accent, boil an egg until she met my grandfather, who was, in fact, a professional food guy. So they would, I never saw this goose. But I know that a goose doesn't go very far. So I'm sure my grandfather roasted a goose just for the two of them. But the byproduct and the part that I got to enjoy was the goose fat, we didn't go to that grandmother for Hanukkah, but we did go to her for a real specialty of Eastern Europe. I think it's mainly Hungarian, Schlischkis. So. You know, I always think
you
can identify people's ethnicity by what they cook. And my grandmother, sometimes, it depends on the day, would say she was Hungarian or Polish. But she cooked more Hungarian than Polish. But her mother did come from Białystok in Poland. That's true.
Like
I knew
Max?
My great-grandmother. Anyway, back to latkes. So... It's disgusting now to us, but when I was a kid, my grandmother fried her latkes, which were famous latkes, in a product called Naya fat. Naya fat was a chicken fat flavored version of Crisco, of solid white shortening. It was yellow because it was supposed to mimic poultry fat, but in fact it was strictly hydrogenated vegetable shortening. Now, Crisco itself was a big deal in the kosher community. In fact, some people say Crisco was invented to have been an alternative to lard, which, of course, no Jew would eat. Anyway, back to latkes. I make very good latkes because I was trained at a very early age at my grandmother's knee, so to speak. It was my job, just to say, my grandmother's Hanukkah party was her big entertainment of the year. She had other people she had friends in for dinner. And we had people outside the family come for Passover. But Hanukkah is not a religious holiday. It's a festival. And so the Sunday, whenever that was, of the week of Hanukkah, my grandmother would have an open house. And we would have to fry potato pancakes, for hours. And my job was to grate the potatoes for hours.
My job, and then I'd always grate my knuckles.
Exactly.
We always
used to say the blood was the secret ingredient.
and then it would turn color, and then it would get boring.
So here's the deal with the color.
All right.
My grandmother used, as I still do, because I inherited this spoon. It's a silver plated spoon, large, very large spoon. Supposedly came from my great grandmother, with my great grandmother from Europe, so it was a big. It was all day long.
Right.
People came and all the grandchildren were there. My cousins. Small children my age were there, and my grandmother supervised all the frying, of course. My mother fried, my aunt fried. I was not allowed near the hot oil in the beginning.
I always tried to get graduated to the fry line, just so you know.
Well, I mean, that didn't happen with me until much later. But back to the grating of the potatoes.
No, the silver spoon.
We did it by hand.
Right.
But my grandmother was young enough and lived long enough to be able to do it first in the blender, and she figured out how to do this so it didn't taste strange. It was the same granulation of potato as when I did them by hand. And then, eventually, the food processor, which is much better than a blender, by the way. So you can, and I still do, grate my potatoes in the food processor.
Well, that
I don't use the grating blade. I cut it into chunks and I pulse on and off.
Okay, so that works. So I have to say that we probably had the same blender in Buffalo, and the first attempt was just a nightmare. Terrible.
No. You know, by the way, it takes some practice
yes.
too, even with the food processor. I think
so. My grandmother never
succeeded.
Where,
by the way, you could let a 7-year-old grate the potatoes because it didn't take any practice to grate the potatoes. Not really. Anyway, it was not a job I liked in the kitchen, but I was happy to be in the kitchen even then. Later on, when I was in charge of the potato pancakes, I didn't like it so much. I remember one Hanukkah when I finally got to the table to eat some pancakes, and there were none left.
That's the memory. So my solution to that before I finally got what's it called when you're exiled? I got banned because what I would do is I would simply start eating the pancakes as they came out to make sure that.
Anyway, I didn't because I was a good boy.
Yeah, I guess.
So here's a little side thing. So my grandmother's the big dish besides the pancakes, the latkes on Hanukkah. The big deal dish was something called muchana. And my grandmother was born in Brooklyn, but this was definitely an old country dish, and her parents were from near Minsk in Belarus, as we call it now. They called it White Russia, which, by the way, Belarus means White Russia. Didn't know that until fairly recently. In any case, so muchana, the way my grandmother made it, was big chunks of beef braised in, you browned it very well and then put it in the oven with, she just used water, but with a lot of seasoning, garlic, bay leaf, and many, many years ago, even a big spoon of pickling seasoning that you buy in the store in the bottle, which is mixed seeds and stuff, plus a hot pepper. My grandfather had acid reflux, so eventually that got eliminated from the recipe because it really does give heartburn. But in any case, the meat was cooked for a very long time, and the whole point was not the meat, but the gravy that it produced, so you could take your potato pancakes and dunk them into the gravy.
Oh, really?
So the way my grandmother served it, the pancakes all went on a big platter in the middle of the table, but everybody got their individual
dunking bowl
with gravy and a chunk of meat. It was big enough that, there were other things to eat as well, so it wasn't the only thing. But so somebody asked me recently, do you eat your potato pancakes with sour cream or applesauce? Well, I grew up eating them with applesauce because even though we weren't strictly kosher, my grandmother's house was kosher style, as they used to call it, and she never would have mixed sour cream with meat. So, and we did have meat. Now, if you're not eating meat and you're kosher, you can have all the sour cream you want. Now, Muchana was a mystery to me until, I'm going to say as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, because I've always looked for, you know, where it came from, and I never could find anything about it until a Belarus restaurant opened in Sheepshead Bay, and I ran because a big dish on their menu was muchana. And, of course, not being a Jewish restaurant or a kosher restaurant, it was made with pork and not beef. And it had a creamed sauce, which, of course, is totally unkosher. But it was served. And here was the clincher that my grandmother's dish was just the Jewish version. It was served with potato pancakes for dunking into the gravy.
And see, I was just dunk. What's this dunk? It was either applesauce or sour cream, but never did we.
Yeah,
get
well, my
dunk.
We all, you know what? I'm probably not going to be making potato pancakes this Hanukkah, but I am going to make because talking about it, I crave them. Matzah meal pancakes. It's in the tradition of the holiday, folks. The whole point is to use oil. We are commemorating the Maccabees fighting off the Syrian Greeks who desecrated the Second Temple. And in order to, the temple, you had to have oil for the eternal lamp over the altar. By the way, I was telling this to a Catholic friend the other day, and of course, he's a smart guy. So the light bulb went off. Oh, we have that in the Catholic Church too. Well, you stole it from us, guys. That the eternal lamp that's over the altar. But and the miracle for which we are celebrating, was that they only had enough oil to last one day, but that amount of oil lasted 8 days until they could get more sanctified oil to put in that lamp. Now, what was the sanctified oil? It was olive oil. Coincidentally, not so. It is now the olive oil harvest time. Not in every part of Italy, but it starts at the end of October in Sicily, but then it crawls up the peninsula. And certainly in early December, they're still harvesting in Tuscany. And Umbria, yep. So if they have any oil this year. But anyway, that's another story. So, yeah, they had to wait for the oil. It was olive oil. This I didn't know until, well, it's already 30 years ago at least, when Chabad, which is the an arm of the Lubavitch community here in Brooklyn, they're all over the world trying to help Jews. They don't try to convert non-Jews, but they wish and try hard to make people who are already Jewish but not so observant more observant. But anyway, they had a pop-up on Fifth Avenue, no less, right near Saks Fifth Avenue. And the pop-up was a Hanukkah store, but in the back they did olive oil pressing demonstrations because, of course, they knew that it was olive oil. Hanukkah is all about olive oil. And speaking of new oil, and the new oil is very special, I think. It's more aggressively whatever it is than when it's a year old. And there is new oil in the market right now, and I haven't really looked. I'm sure it's hugely expensive, because even my year-old oil, all the olive oil has gone up in price. Fortunately, Massimino Bellelli, Cecilia's son, just came by and brought me some new oil from Salerno. The farm that this is from is in Capaccio. It's called, anyway, it's not labeled. It's just a family oil.
So, question:
don't sell oil.
Was there an issue? Was it weather related? Was it what happened to the harvest?
Oh, well, a few different things depending on what part of Italy. In Tuscany, Umbria, they had the problem of a freeze in the spring. Or maybe it was really torrential rain in the spring that stripped the trees of their buds. So you don't have a flower, you don't have an olive. Other places, it was other things. It was just a very bad year. Now, I guess it's like buying corn futures. But as soon as I learned that the prices were going to go up, I talked about this on the air at the time. I went online and stocked up on my favorite oil, which has gone from being $20 to $30. Well, it was when it creeped up to 23, and then it zoomed up to 30, and I saw it the other day for $31. And I bought some other oil that I knew was excellent, and that was only $20-something, and that's over $30 now. And I'm well stocked with oil now. But and oil, by the way, just for everybody, olive oil, well, unopened, forget about it. Unopened, it probably could last several years. But once you've opened it, you have at least a year, an open bottle. The reason olive oil is so good for you, it's full of antioxidants, which protects itself as well as us. So, you can keep a bottle of olive oil. Don't keep it near heat. It should be in a dark bottle, dark green bottle. It should be away from the stove, for sure. And you'll be good for your ear.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway, I do have chicken fat waiting to be used. And so I might very well make some pancakes using the chicken fat. But I like, as I said, I like matzo meal pancakes, and they're so easy to make.
This is where we need Marshall, actually.
Pardon me?
This is where we need Marshall, actually, because he was absolutely all over, whatever you guys talked about, potato pancakes, et cetera. He was all over it. And I think his aunts used – I know he did matzo meal. I know he did that because I was sometimes the beneficiary.
Well, anyway, I can whip together matzo meal pancakes, and I do sometimes, just like this. Three eggs, 3/4 cup – well, let me just say that I always have matzo meal in my cabinet. So it's one of my emergency products.
Well,
I don't use it that often. But I do use it for potato pancakes. I'll get to that in a second. I know I don't have a lot of time. So matzo meal pancakes, 3 large eggs and 3/4 cup of cold water, and beat that together with a teaspoon of salt, and then beat in 1/2 cup of matzo meal. Now, I don't make mine sweet, but some people would add a tablespoon or two of sugar to that. Not me. So, and then you let it stand, because the matzo meal will expand and absorb the liquid that you just mixed it with, and it needs time to do that. And then you just, in a skillet, depending on how many you're going to make, this should make, 8 or 10 pancakes. It's enough for 2 people. You just barely coat the bottom of the skillet with oil, and you don't need a whole lot of oil, 1/8 inch if I have to measure it. And heat it up, and the pancakes should, you drop them off of a spoon, and they should sizzle as soon as they hit the fat. If they sizzle too hard, then you've gotten the pan too hot, and I would lift it off the burner while I reduce the heat a little bit. And that's it. You fry them on 2 sides until they're, brown on both sides. If as you are cooking, the batter seems to get too thick, because it should be pourable. Thick, very thick, but pourable. You can always add a little bit more water, and you can always add a little bit more oil to your pan. If you want to do this in butter, go ahead. In chicken fat, go ahead. I have my chicken fat from skimming it from broth. I made a big pot of broth.
You made the broth that you were talking about? Okay. So, but but 3 quick questions, maybe.
All right.
How long does the chicken fat last after skimmage?
Well, if I put it in the freezer, it'll last several months, I'm sure.
Okay.
I have small accommodations here, so I've decided I'm just going to use it. And but besides, it is the holiday to fry.
Right. Okay.
So, and I have, this fat is not the best for cooking in a pan for frying because it has a very large moisture content. What I usually use it for is to make matzo balls, and then eat them with the same soup that the fat came from, recycling the fat into the matzo balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the other, and then, of course, is potato. I mean, it's excellent for making potato pancakes, but figure on some sputtering. Now, my potato pancake formula is, I see a lot of potato pancakes around this time of the year, as you can imagine. I mean, well, you don't look, I look. And I have to say that my potato pancakes, which were my grandmother's, whose parents were from Belarus, are pretty standard Belarus-style pancakes. Although, I must say, the pancakes at that Belarusian restaurant in Sheepshead Bay were really terrible. Soggy, greasy. I like crisp edges and not too much thickness in the middle either. They should, of course, have a nice, soft interior, but I never, by the way, order potato pancakes in a deli or a restaurant.
No, they come out so too, and that
they're too thick,
and the aftertaste is just disgusting. I'm sorry. Revolting.
So I do for a pound, and I use russet potatoes, by the way, because baking potatoes because they're the driest.
Right, and just before, so the silver spoon thing. Your grandmother, because my grandmother
did. Ingredients,
too.
Yeah.
All right. So she would stick, after shredding, she would stick the silver spoon in the water?
Well, not in the water. No, in the potatoes.
Okay,
in the batter.
In the batter,
in other words,
okay. Yeah.
By the way, I do this in a slightly improved way, I think.
Okay.
Because the acidity from onions also keeps the potatoes white.
True.
So I like to grate my onions first. And then put in the grated potatoes, and all along I have my big great-grandmother's silver-plated spoon. Still has enough silver attached that I can polish it, but I don't because it does the job. And I stick that in the bowl as soon as I put the potatoes in. So for a pound of russets, that's usually like two medium-large potatoes, I use 1 8-ounce onion, 6-ounce onion is okay too. A medium onion is defined as a 6-ounce onion. I use a little bit more. 2 large eggs. Now, I know that most people use flour, but I don't. I use matzo meal. As I said, I always have matzo meal in the house, but you can use flour, and you only use a little bit to get it all stuck together, 1/4 cup for a pound of potatoes. A big onion, 2 eggs, 1/4 cup of flour, and then salt. You're going to need, I would say, at least 2 teaspoons of salt because potatoes just take a lot of salt to be delicious. And I also use a lot of pepper. Like a half a teaspoon of freshly ground pepper is not too much. And they don't let them stand. This should be cooked right away. Because eventually they will get gray, or pink is another color that potatoes turn. That's a little more pleasant than gray.
Slightly but
even
more,
when they're
but
gray,
it's so weird.
It's certainly edible. It's just ugly.
I know, but the pink isn't so hotsy-totsy either.
No, it isn't. You're right. So, but this works.
Okay. So silver spoon.
By the way, if you don't have a silver-plated spoon that's tarnished, not everybody does, you can use a pinch of cream of tartar. That's what it is, cream of tartar.
Yep.
And, that, by the way, cream of tartar, I don't know why, but it's gotten really expensive. I mean,
if tartar...
Even if you bake with meringue a lot, I don't know how much cream of tartar one can use in their life. But it costs a lot, but it lasts forever.
I wonder if cream of tartar came from Tartaria.
What's that? that mean?
I always, well, Tartaria, that was a part of, don't, it's a long story.
No, it Ask comes Bob. From the same, I have to look it up, but it comes from the same root as tarnish.
Okay.
You know, it's, it. What's on silver is tarnish.
Ask Bob about the Tartars.
And it's, I'll, you can do the research. I have other things to do.
You have Bob. I don't. He'll know about the Tartars.
Well, I know who the Tartars are.
The Tartars came from Tartaria.
Tartar is from the Tartars.
And the Tartars came from Tartaria.
And they came from Tartaria?
Tartaria. And okay, I'm just wondering
but,
if cream of Tartar...
Is that, I wonder...
Geographically if, northern...
But here comes Bob.
Okay.
We're on the air, by the way, and she's questioning where the word Tartar comes from. I don't know. I
Ask him if it
up.
Comes from Tartaria.
The Tartar people. But yeah. Cream of Tartar?
Yeah.
That's related to tarnish.
Well, so's the Tartar
yes,
people.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing.
Right. Okay, so what's your quote? Moving on.
Do we have a lexicographer in the audience?
I.
If we do, write to me.
Okay. By the way, did you get the...
I did.
Okay, good. How's that for short?
She
how's
was
that
for... asked me, did I get the communication that she sent me on some very official form I never saw before, but yes, I got it.
That's because Marshall used to get the form, send the form to me, and then I would send you the email. We have to skip a step now.
Yeah. So, by the way, the potato latkes, that it sounds like a lot, but I don't think you can get further than three people.
I don't think you can. I said, and if I'm in the kitchen,
Really, too.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, if I'm in there helping, you got to
so
get more.
I like matzo meal instead of flour.
Right.
Not just because I want to use it up in the closet, but because it gives a crisper edge. And I use matzo meal for that instead of breadcrumbs every once in a while. The other day, my neighbor was reminiscing about her mother's, quote, fish sticks. Well, they weren't fish sticks at all. They were flounder fillets when you could afford to, you know, when that was the price of tilapia.
Right.
And Jewish mothers, I don't know why this was a Jewish thing at all, but my mother did it too. She would fry flounder fillets, breaded flounder fillets, and we would eat them at night at room temperature with spaghetti and tomato sauce. It was a thing. In fact, the so-called German deli down the street from where I lived sold the fish fillets and, by the way, the spaghetti and tomato sauce. Only a zillion years later did I find out that, yes, they were German, but they were also Jewish. So this may be a Jewish thing. On Fridays, you know, like yep. Catholics, we ate fish.
Guess what?
Well, our time is up.
So guess what?
What?
Hanukkah will just be over when we talk next, or no? We'll still be in it. No,
well,
I
didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said Hanukkah will just be over when we talk next. I think.
Oh, yes, it will be.
Okay.
It's an 8-day celebration.
Correct. And we're on day, I can't remember. All right.
This is 4 or 5.
Yeah, so definitely be over. All right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What's today?
Today is the 11th.
Oh, yo, it could be the 6th day already. I can't count.
Better get going on
this. Anyway, everybody have a Merry Christmas coming up and a Happy Hanukkah.
We'll talk before.
And did you see Brenda Lee's Christmas song is now the number one Christmas song. I'm so happy
That's
for her.
Right.
And I just saw a picture of her online, and she looks pretty good for whatever she is, 80-ish.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah, she does look great. A lot of people at 80 are looking great. Gives me hope.
Well, anyway. It's the first time you've said that. I'm delighted, and you should have. And happy. Are you a chappy Hanukkah or are you a happy Hanukkah? Are you a Hanukkah with a CH or a Hanukkah with an H?
I'm a traditionalist. The CH. I don't know where that H came from.
Chanukah.
People can't say Hanukkah. They have to say Hanukkah. So I understand.
I guess
Hanukkah.
CH
is too Yiddishy.
Okay, so Chanukah. All right. Happy.
No, that's too Christian. By the way, I will end with this. Hanukkah is not Jewish Christmas.
That is so true. I will endorse that, and then okay. We will end. And anon.
And everybody have a merry whatever.
All right.